of all sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we have come to the section on oaths and swearing. Matthew chapter 5, and in verse 33. Matthew 5, 33. Listen to the words of the Lord. "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord.' But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one." Father, we thank you for this sermon that we can read. It is living because the Word of God spoke it. You spoke it, Jesus. And we ask you to help us today to examine ourselves to see if we are living in accordance with your word. Father, we need your inspiration. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds that we may comprehend and frankly see our own selves and be empowered by you, Holy Spirit, to be people of truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. To change the subject, anybody a little bit cool in here? Okay, if you're comfortable, fine. If anybody gets a little cool, let me know. We have one that's cool. She has a sweater on. Maybe we could just raise the temperature just a little bit. So, are you a person of your word? Do you say, "I swear on a stack of Bibles," or "That's gospel truth, that what I'm saying is true"? Should we do that? I think Jesus was quite clear on it. Look at what he says in verse 37. "Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no, and anything beyond that is from the evil one." So what's my message today? Well, it's simply this, AT&T. AT&T is the message. If you can go away from here and just remember AT&T, you will do well, and not just remember, but live it. AT&T. That's not your cell phone company. What it means is this: always tell the truth. AT&T. And stop ATLing. You say ATL, that stands for Atlanta. ATL, stop ATLing. That means stop always telling lies. You want to AT&T. Always tell the truth under all circumstance and you will do well. But the problem is we are ATLing too much of the time. But let's look at the historical context of this sermon. Remember, Jesus is giving this sermon in Judea to Jews. Notice we come in this sermon to the fourth antithesis. That means something contrary. We had one on murder, where he said, "You've heard it said." He gave the antithesis of it. One on adultery, "You've heard it said." One on divorce, "It has been said." Now, in verse 33, he says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago." He is contra or telling the antithesis of what they had been taught for years, hundreds of years, by the rabbis. And there were rabbis in that audience that day and Jews who knew the teachings of the rabbis. And what the rabbis tried to do is take God's law and make it practical for the people to keep. Good goal, that's noble. But what mistake they made was, is they only dealt with the outside. They only dealt with the letter of the law, like with adultery. You've heard it said, if you don't, you shouldn't commit adultery. But I tell you, if you even look at a woman to lust, you have committed adultery. In other words, God always dealt with what? The heart. They dealt with the outside. And when you start only dealing with the outside, you run into a H word. You know what H word that is? Hypocrisy. Because you can be one way on the outside and be another way on the inside. And what's on the inside will come out to the outside. So you live in a hypocritical life. And that's what he's dealing with throughout here. And he's telling them, you've heard that it was said people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep your oaths that you have made to the Lord. And that's all good. But what they were saying is this, the oaths you were making to God, and the Old Testament taught that, you keep. You must do it. But when you swear by something else other than God, well, there's a little etch-a-sketch room. There's a little fudging. Y'all didn't get that. There's a little, well, I really didn't mean it. You probably hear people all the time say, well, I swear. Man, you sure? Oh, yeah, I'd swear on my mother's grave. Have you heard people say that? Or I'm telling you the gospel truth. Whenever you hear somebody saying that, they're lying. They're setting you up 9 chances out of 10 because they've got to build all of that up to convince you to believe them. Jesus said, hey, look, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, always tell the truth. You don't have to put all that with it. So the rabbis taught, if you swear by God, you've got to do it. But if you swear by other things, notice, in verse 34, he said, but I tell you, and notice who's telling them. Who's telling them? Jesus. What are one of the ways we describe Jesus? He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. It's interesting. Here you have the one who is eternal with God called the Word. And he's called the truth. Telling them about living a life of truth. We say that about other people, don't we? We talk about athletes who are very good and say, oh man, he's the what? He's the truth, right? That means that he is the real deal, right? That he can put up the points or make the touchdowns. He's the truth about basketball. He's the truth about football, the truth about baseball. Listen. God has called us to be the truth. We don't have to swear on a stack of Bibles or our mother's grave and all that stuff. Our head. We're to live the truth. Why? Because the truth is to live in us. And Jesus was the truth telling them the truth. Notice the pivot he says. He shows here. First he says, you say you got to swear to the Lord. Now, verse 34. But I tell you, do not swear at all. Now, I want to stop there. Does that mean that you should not take any oath or swear? That all oath-taking is wrong? No, that's not what he's teaching. He's contradicting and bringing the truth about these other oaths that they were making that they knew they didn't have to keep. For we see throughout the Old Testament, God making oaths, Abraham making oaths. We see in the New Testament, whenever Jesus say, verily, verily, or truly, truly. He's saying, what I'm saying is true. We see the Apostle Paul or whoever wrote the book of Hebrews showing that God makes an oath that we'll look at later, maybe during the Lord's Supper. And you go to court and you're asked to swear, so help you God. That's no problem with that. What Jesus is dealing with is the hypocritical games that the rabbis and the people were practicing, that if it wasn't an oath to the Lord, you didn't really have to do it. You didn't really have to tell the whole truth. You see, they had their little, what? Color? White lies? Anybody ever heard of that? And they had flat out lies. Listen, if it's not the truth, it's a lie. There are no white lies. That's just truth and lies. Don't anybody ever fool you that, oh, it's all right. I've heard people tell me, well, you know, I said that, but it's okay to, you know, tell white lies. That like white makes it right. White ain't right. God is right. Or whatever color you want to say, well, that was a purple lie. Or that was a black lie. Whatever lie it is, it's a lie. Don't do it. What's the point today? A-T-N-T. Always tell what? The truth. All right? So here he pivots. And he starts talking about other things that they were swearing by. Verse 34. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven. So they said, well, if you swore by heaven, you didn't necessarily really have to keep it. For it's God's throne. In other words, you're trying to plead down. Well, I didn't say I'm swearing to God. I said by heaven. And what did Jesus say? That's God's. The earth is God's throne. Well, what about swearing by the earth? For it's his footstool. Well, can I swear by Jerusalem? Uh-uh. For it is the city of the great king. In other words, he's saying God owns and creates it and sustained all those things. So you can't say, well, I swear by this and not the Lord, and then I don't have to do it. No, it all belongs to God. All truth is God's truth. And all lies come from, we'll answer that later. Or, I've heard people say, isn't that a nursery rhyme? Oh, I swear by my chinny chin chin. How many of you have heard that a nursery rhyme? Okay? It's not true. Don't even swear by your chin. Guess who made your chin? Who keeps it up on your jaw? God. So you're still swearing by God. Notice, and do not swear by your head. Why? God made your head. Bald, hair. As I tell one of my little granddaughters, where's my hair? And I'll go take her hair and put it there. Well, God determined that I would be bald. God is so much in control that even one hair, notice this, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. As y'all get older, y'all not only will it fall out with some, but it'll start, you know, right, turning gray, and you'll start trying to pluck it out, right? Then it grows right back. Guess who's in control of that? God. So don't even swear by your head or the hair on your chinny chin chin or the hair up on the chimney or the roof of your head. Why? Because God has made it. God's in control of it. And if you do, you still got to keep it because God is in control of all things. He made all things, and all truth is God's truth. And all lies are, we'll see. Are you with me? Therefore, he said simply, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. And anything beyond that comes from who? The evil one. Ah, God calls us to be people of integrity. You know what integrity means? What you are on the outside is what you're on the inside. But let me tell you something. What's on the inside is what you're going to do on the outside. That's why I asked that we sing this song, From the Inside Out. You've got to have it right from the inside out. Why do we not AT&T? Why do we ATL? Because we have a problem. There was a movie title, I believe, or a TV series or something, I couldn't remember which, entitled, What Lies Beneath? Was that a movie title? What Lies Beneath is the problem. And I'm not talking about, and forgive me, I intended to ask my wife, who's very good at grammar and spelling, what lies, I'm not talking about position, what's under there. I'm talking about L-I-E-S. So you can change that. What lies Do I have my spelling right, y'all? School folks, help me. How do you spell lie? Like telling a lie. Isn't it L-I-E? And plural is L-I-E-S, right? Did I get it right? Thank you. What lies beneath is the question. And I'm here today to tell you that every human being has a deprived and depraved, I should say, nature, totally corrupted. And what lies beneath is described in Romans. Come there with me. Romans chapter 3. And we will see what lies beneath. Romans chapter 3. Actually, is it 3? No, yes, it is. 3. Verse 10. As it is written, Paul says, in the Old Testament, there is no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. And we've all turned away altogether and become worthless. And there's no one who does good, not even one. Their throats, are open graves. In other words, what comes out of your mouth stinks. Literally, when you don't brush it. But it's talking about what's coming out of your heart. It's like open graves. And their tongues, what do their tongues do? Do the tongues practice telling the truth? What does it say there? Their tongues practice deceit. Deceit is a lie. We have a tongue that has as its practice lying. Now, I know that may be hard to admit, and I'm sure there's no one here who's ever told a lie, and I'm sure there's no one here when they're in trouble or put on the spot and they're asked a question, their first impulse is to do what? Just tell the truth. You know I'm lying. That first impulse is to tell a what? A lie. Romans 3, 13. Their throats are open graves, and their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers, that's a snake, is on their lips. Who's the great snake depicted in the Bible? We'll talk about that. Is on their lips, and their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. That's us. That's every human being. You say, oh, but not those sweet little babies. If they can talk, they can lie. Right? I'm reminded of a little child who went in and ate some pudding. Went in the refrigerator. Shouldn't have been in that refrigerator. Got the pudding, maybe it was some pie, I can't remember, blueberry, let's make it, I'm not lying, I am using a story. Changing some things, so you know I ain't lying. But this is a true story. Kid got it, ate it, and it was all over the mouth. And the parent says, did you eat that pie? I didn't eat it. And there he was with pie all over his face. But he was a sweet little child. That little child does not have a corrupted heart, a lying heart, does he? He just didn't want to get a spanking, right? So we can kind of justify it. Is it all right to lie, little ones? They're looking at me. Is it all right to lie to keep from getting a spanking? Huh? Yeah, really? Really? Can we just kind of say, well, I didn't do it. They did it. That's a lie. And the pie is all over your face. It is so natural that even though you're caught with pie all over your face, it is so natural you don't even consider the obvious that all the evidence is on you. Your first response is, no, I didn't do it. They did it. Now, I know none of you have done that. I know none of you have never had that thought. But I'm just here to tell you that we all have it. I have it. I've done it. And I think everyone breathing. Because if you haven't, you're lying. You're lying. Where does this come from? All truth is God's truth. All right? So where all lies come from? That's coming out of your heart. But who started the first lie? Who told the first lie in human history? Anybody know? Huh? Who? Yeah, but there was somebody who told the first lie in recorded history before Adam and Eve. And it was the evil one that Jesus said. It was the serpent who was Satan the devil. Come with me to John 8:44. So in all lies are of the devil. All truth is of God. John 8 and verse 44. You need to think about that. Next time you got that urge to lie, you know you have that fallen nature, but realize you're acting like your daddy. And you only have two, there are only two daddies in the universe, Satan and God. And we're all born under Satan. And we must be born again into the kingdom of God. We're all born with that nature to lie. I said, John, and I'm over here in Romans, forgive me. I've got to switch here. Be patient with me as I turn to the book of John. Chapter 8, and you're probably already reading it, and that's good. You're very good disciples. Verse 44, he told the Pharisees, you belong to your daddy, your father, your papa, the devil. Well, that's pretty strong, isn't it? And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning. Why? Because he brought about the death, the eternal death, of Adam and Eve. Not holding to the truth. Notice, he doesn't hold to the truth. He can't keep the truth. He can't handle the truth. Somebody's heard that before too. For there is no truth in him. And he lies. When he lies, he speaks his native language. Boy, isn't that strong? You speak Spanish, you speak English, you're bilingual. Let me tell you something. Every human being is bilingual. You speak whatever language you speak, and lies is your second language. Now, lies is your first language. You can lie in Spanish as a little toddler. You can lie in German. It's still a lie. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you don't believe me. Do you believe the Lord? I am telling the truth. Why don't you believe me? That's a good question to ask all unbelievers. Jesus comes and he tells the truth, and we don't believe him. Want to hear a white lie? The first child born killed his brother. Notice, the first child. And God says, Cain, where's your brother? He didn't tell the truth, did he? He said, am I my brother's keeper? Like, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Like God didn't already know. What do I always say? When God asks a question, he's not looking for information, so why lie? He's God. He knows everything. He is omniscient. That means he has all knowledge. He asked you the question to convict you and to get you to examine your heart and repent. Who is your father? We have hypocritical hearts. That means a heart that's one way on the outside and another way on the inside. We want to look like we are telling the truth. That's why we say, well, I swear on my mother's grave, you're telling a lie. We'll go take these oaths or say, well, and do whatever we have to do to try to convince people that we are telling the truth when we are liars. Everybody does that. Even that little kid with all the pie. He wanted to appear right even though it was all over his face. We do the same thing. We ask questions or blah, blah, blah. We don't say yes. We don't say no. We say, well, I'm not my brother's keeper. Or I don't know. Did you do that? Who did that? I don't know. Anybody ever do that? And you know good and well it was you. That's why the parent come to you first. The usual suspects. Who did that? I'm not just picking on kids. We're all children. One way or the other. We also want to be in control because we think, well, now, if I tell the truth, then things aren't going to work out so well. But if I lie, then things can go my way. Anybody ever do that? Called manipulating by lying. It's about being in control. You think you can control the outcome of things, and you cannot. You are not God. God is God. Your lying cannot fix things. Your lying cannot make your future turn out, even if it's the next day, the way you want to. Listen, whatever is done in darkness will come out. Oh, it may take to the next day, it may take next week, it may take years. But the truth will come out. Don't be deceived by the evil one. It will come out. And it will be worse for you the longer it stays uncovered. As that old Midas commercial used to say, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. You don't want that payment later. You know why? Because the interest is compounding. The penalty is compounding. The effects on other people is compounding. Tell the truth. You're not in control. You can't control the future through your lying. God is in control. And we forget that. And therefore, we don't trust God. So we lie. When you lie, you take advantage in your own hands. Whether to tell the truth, okay, this is what I did. And you leave the consequences to God. So it's a matter of faith. Do I trust God with my life? Or do I have to lie to try to fix things? We need to turn from lying and confess to God, every one of us, that we are sinners. Notice I say not that we lie, but we're sinners. You know why we lie? Because we're sinners. That's our basic nature. And we have to turn to God and ask God to forgive us. And maybe during this next few hours, next few minutes, and next week, we need to examine ourselves. Father, show me how I've been lying. Show me how my heart's not right. And then ask God, change my heart. In Psalm 51, David said, you desire truth in the inward parts. See, that's what Jesus was getting at. See, nobody can be perfect and tell the truth. God gives his law, and Jesus, in effect, is giving the letter and the spirit of the law to convict us all that we're liars. To convict us, to turn us to him. Because we realize, well, God, I can't live up to that standard. See, the law is to turn us to Christ, to show us our sins, to act as a mirror, and then bring us to a point of helplessness, and then, Father, help me, save me, strengthen me, change my heart, purify my heart. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if your heart's not right, your words are not going to be right. If there's not truth in the inward parts, there won't be truth on the outside. We need to rely on him to AT&T and to stop ATLing. I want to turn to one final scripture, and that's the book of Acts. I want to read a story to you that I hope will kind of summarize everything I've been saying. In Acts, the 5th chapter, there was a man and a woman. You probably are, some of you are already anticipating who this man, this mystery man, and this mystery woman, who they are. Well, their names were Ananias and Sapphira. I think it's Acts 5. Yes, it is. There we go. Ananias and Sapphira. Now listen to this. I want everybody to listen to this carefully. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself and bought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Well, what's wrong with that? Because they were lying. Now you say, how are they lying? Because they wanted to appear. Remember I told you that people lie because they want to appear a certain way? They wanted to appear that they were giving all the money from this sale of property to the church. But they really weren't. Now watch this. Did the church demand that they give all the money? No. But they wanted to look good and keep the money, part of it, as well. They wanted to control the situation. Notice verse 3. Then Peter said, if they brought the money after Ananias, Sapphira stayed home. Ananias went. And notice what Peter said. Ananias, how is it that Satan, now wait a minute, why Satan? Because he is what? The father of what? Of lies. How is it that Satan has filled your heart? What's the problem? We got Satan as a problem, and we have what is the problem? The heart. Because Ananias was a liar in his heart. All human beings are. Satan simply takes advantage of it. Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Notice he has lied to God, not to the man. Get this point, put it down in your notes and in your heart. Whenever you lie or tell the truth, it is not to your mom or daddy, it's not to your supervisor on your job, it's not to the to your teacher, the principal, it's not to the policeman. Whenever you speak and whatever you say, you are saying it to God, who knows what's in your heart and who knows the truth. So everything you say and everything you do, be sure you do it unto God, because he knows all things. And he's even the one empowering you to take a breath and even to be able to get that lie out of your mouth. This is serious. So when you lie, you're lying to God. That you have lied to the Holy Spirit. And you have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land. Didn't it belong to you before you sold it? It was your money. You didn't have to bring it. But you're going to bring part of it and lie like you're bringing the whole thing. You didn't have to do any of that. It belonged to you. And you had to kept it because you didn't want to give it. There'll be no lie involved. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. Man, that's powerful. We got to live coram Deo. That's Latin for in the presence of God at all times. See, that's a strong motivator for integrity. Now, when Ananias heard this, guess what? He fell down and died. Now, thankfully, God isn't operating that way today, because boy, you go around the road and say, where's all these dead people? Look, the streets are littered. What happened? You go back and say, they lied. You go in your house, where are all the kids? Mommy, who took the kids? They lied. Go to the job. Where are all the employers? Employees. They lied. And when Ananias heard this, he fell down and he died. And great fear. We need to fear God. We need to be in awe of him. Not just afraid, but in awe. He knows everything. He sustains us. And he gives us all things. And great fear seized all who heard about what happened. And the young man came forward, wrapped him up, and carried him out and buried him. I like the way that the Holy Spirit inspired them. Young men came up, they wrapped up his body, and they carried him out and buried him. Boom, just like that. Wow. Now, 3 hours later, because I guess the news hadn't gotten to his wife, 3 hours later after that happened, he's buried and gone. By 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, ATT, Always tell the truth. Tell me, is this the price? This 700 shekels, whatever it was. Is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? And she went ATL on him. Always telling lies. Yes, she said, that's the price. And Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men, see the dirt on their feet, who buried your husband, are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. And the young men, they said, man, boy, this is a busy day. They came in, and finding her dead, carried out her out and buried her beside her husband. Two liars. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. My brothers and my sisters, ATT, always tell the truth. Ask God to examine your heart and purify it, to give you a new heart that wants to tell the truth. And depend on Him. And when that urge comes up to lie, when you put on the spot, and some of us don't even need to be put on the spot, we just lie. Bring every thought into captivity to the Lord. And if it's not the truth, reject it. And speak the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Always tell the truth. Father, we confess to you that we are liars. And we are incapable on our own to be people who always tell the truth. And we come to you, Jesus. We come to the cross needing your help. We serve the risen God. We serve the Lord who is the truth who lives in us. Jesus, who is the truth. Speak truth to us. Help us. We depend on you. And Father, thank you for your forgiveness and your empowerment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.